UFC 318 is here in New Orleans, Louisiana. The Bayou region hosts its first major combat sports event in almost 10 years. We talk about everything that goes down at this fight, plus all the fights that make up the larger event. There's a lot to go on in the prelims, more Louisiana ties than you think, and I have some great predictions for you at the end of the video. Once again, let's hit the intro and get this one started. It is prime time on the True Bayou Sports Media Network. My name is Donald. I'm your host this and every week as we get you ready for another week of coverage of Bayou Region sports. If it's the New Orleans Saints, the LSU Tigers, New Orleans Pelicans, or your favorite team from across the region, from the Bayou City to the whole boot and through the Mississippi Sound, we get you ready for what's going down on the True Bayou Sports Media Network. All right, UFC 318, Dustin Poirier versus Max Holloway for the BMF title. It's going to be a great time if you're going, if you're watching at a bar, if you're watching at home, just to be able to see the raw emotion of a home retirement fight. You know, it always seems as though no matter how the outcome goes, these types of fights really bring a lot out of that fighter and gives them a chance to, you know, put their best foot forward for one last time. And for this case, for Dustin Poirier, has a chance to put a belt around his shoulder one last time. And, you know, it's going to be a question, is it going to be the last fight? Now, of course, we assume, yes, it is. But whenever you beat a contender like Max Holloway, do you get a chance at another belt against Ilia Topuria? It has not been confirmed. That would be an opportunity, but with Lil Wayne walking him out and everything going on, it would not surprise me if Dustin does in fact cut the gloves off tonight, no matter the outcome. And of course, it'll be exciting to see. I'll be there at the Smoothie King Center. I hope to see as many of you as possible. And of course, if you're watching at home, of course, it's great to see you there. With this being our first content with combat sports, of course, we're going to talk a little bit about who's fighting, what's important about these fighters, some interesting parts about what's going on outside of the main event, and of course, we'll give you just a brief prediction just to kind of let you know what I think going into it. So, without further ado, if we look up, down, top to bottom at this card, it seems as though, and really it took a while to develop, let's not lie to ourselves, Dana didn't quite have this one put together. I feel like there was three fights that dropped out or were canceled in some variation, and oftentimes you were kind of wondering, okay, what's going on here? This is almost like a fight night. This doesn't really have potential to really grasp the pay-per-view audience. But I think as the fight got more put together, you started to see some of the late additions in Dan Ige and Kevin Holland. You realize, okay, we have some true performers, we have some true entertainers, but what isn't going to be promoted about this, and this is why I may encourage you may need to watch for early prelims through prelims tonight. You have some young talent that's going to come up tonight, and they're going to get a chance to prove themselves. And I feel like when young people get a chance to prove themselves in the ring, they either go out, you know, with great success or with great, you know, showmanship. Regardless, somebody might be getting knocked out, if you can hear through that. But let's talk about the card a little bit. Of course, you have three fighters with Louisiana ties, including your main event tonight, Dustin Poirier versus Max Holloway, where the Louisiana legend will get to cut the gloves and put them down in the middle of the Smoothie King Center at home in the state of Louisiana. But also making a debut in the state of Louisiana in the UFC rank will be Carly Judas. I hope I have that right. Carly Crispy Judas, as she goes by. She is a new fighter, debuted on Dana White's Contender Series in 2023, and has since had her first UFC victory in the past 12 months or so. So she is a unique fighter in the fact that she has shown potential to land knockouts. This is not somebody who purely focuses on decisions and garnering those at the end of fight. She does go for knockout. She is a very skilled mixed martial artist who I believe will be able to put on quite the show. And really, you know, when you open up a card with the ability to seek out a knockout, that's a great time. And again, for those of you, doors open to Smoothie King Center who might be going, and then early prelim starts at 5 p.m. here Central Time. So of course, don't forget, watch early. But beyond that, on those early prelims, you also have another pure UFC debut in Jackson McVay, who is filling in for the opponent that dropped out from Bruno Ferreira's fight. That was going to be one of the premier fights, it seemed like, going on, but now that's been downgraded to the early prelims. You also have another couple fights here in Adam Fugit versus Islam Dualtov out of Germany, but I believe he has the potential to, if he keeps this win streak that he has going, be contending for at least a ranking, if not getting close to title contention pretty soon. I mean, the guy has a lot of the talent. We'll see if he's able to continue to prove it. And then you get into prelims. And, you know, I'm not going to go fight by fight here. It's 14 fights. It'll take us all day. I'm just kind of giving you an idea of the vibe of what you're going to see here. Ateba Gutier. And that's my best attempt to pronounce it. This is someone who is being billed as a potential champion within 2 years. A knockout specialist comes at 185, fighting in middleweight. Of course, we know middleweight has been one of the more bogged down, kind of stuck divisions for a while. And this is somebody who has true knockout power who could assert himself. He's fighting Robert Valentin, which is another, again, very entertaining fighter. That's going to kick off your prelims. And I feel like those two are some of the more entertaining fighters that we'll see get put head to head tonight. Of course, as you go further up this card, you have a Louisiana, we'll call him born son, but, you know, he was not born here. And Brendan Allen, a Southeastern University graduate, go Lions. And he'll be fighting a Martin Vietori. These two guys are both on loss streak, so they're fighting for their chance to continue to get another contract. Expect that one to be an absolute show as they try and go and secure themselves another shot at continuing in the main UFC promotion. Outside of that, you then end prelims with what I believe is one of the more underrated fighters in the current slate, particularly at bantamweight. That is Vinicius Oliveira. Man, the guy knows how to knock people out. You've seen some of his highlight head kicks where he throws the knee and just absolutely puts the guy out. I feel like he fights a very well-rounded type of style. I've enjoyed watching him personally over the past year or two that I've been seeing his fights on a more regular basis. I really feel like he is somebody who, if he gets another highlight type of fight tonight, and this goes for just about everybody on this card. Look, national media, they're focused on Dustin Poirier, Max Holloway. Outside of that, it's basically whoever else wants to be number two, because you can't just write a story off of one fight. So, look, there's going to be whoever gets that second fight of the night bonus, man, these guys are going to be in a good position to really leverage their career and start making some serious traction. But as you get into the main event, the main card, man, it's going to be a fun one. You have a lot of guys with a lot of fights under them. If it's, you know, someone like a Pitbull who just, you know, made his debut after being a Bellator champion for many years, he gets another shot to get a UFC victory after his first loss. He'll fight Dan Ige, you know, short notice king. He never waits to accept that invite to a card. So, and then you have Kevin Holland, of course, as I mentioned earlier, a great fighter, very much, of course, entertainment fan favorite. And then Paul Acosta versus Roman Kolyakov. I feel like those two are, you know, they want to prove, no, I actually am a middleweight contender. Move me up. As you know, you try and fight for that shot to get, you know, ranking maybe 12 to 10. You're trying to show that, no, I can make a title run. I feel like both of those guys have a lot to prove. And of course, the main event, the BMF title at 155 between Max Holloway, Dustin Poirier. And look, it's so jam-packed. It really is. And it doesn't feel like it was going to be, but when you really start looking into these fighters, you learn more about who they are, what they bring. It tells you a story that's bigger than, okay, I have maybe three people in the top six, but I don't really think two of them ever have another title shot left in them. And you're basically seeing, when are you ready to retire fights? I don't think any of these, other than, of course, obviously Dustin Poirier, is a are you ready to retire fight. These are all active fighters who still have many years left in their career. And that's going to be one of the many entertaining aspects to this. And I'm very excited to see how that goes. Let's go ahead and we'll take a quick sort of move in the other direction, though, because you look at this. You look at the impact of this. Again, first UFC event in New Orleans in 10 years. First pay-per-view of significance in the modern era, we'll call it. Really, since the 2000s. So, this is the shot for the Bayou region as a whole. Because I don't include just New Orleans in what this fight needs to bring. I include Houston. I include generally even cities further north, Memphis and Nashville, which I don't really include in the Bayou region, but it's important to know in the context of what we're talking about with combat sports. If the fans show up, if the arena, the Smoothie King Center, although for some reason all week, Daniel Cormier has wanted to call it the Smoothie King Arena. It's Smoothie King Center, but you know he's been away from home for a while. It gets to a point here to where I think if this really shows out to be a strong pay-per-view, strong attendance, strong correlation. Look, the talent pool is not the strongest left from the state of Louisiana. At one point, obviously, when you had Dustin and you had Daniel, two potential championship contenders, it looked a lot stronger. On the women's side, you do have someone like a Macy Chasson who is, trying to get her title run together. She'll be fighting in a couple weeks here. But it shows that, okay, this region can support pay-per-view events, can support even fight nights. I would love if New Orleans got a fight night at least every 2 years. I feel like that would be a perfect compromise. And then Dana, give me one pay-per-view every 5 years. That would be perfect. I know we're not going to kick off Miami off the schedule. We're not kicking any of the Middle Eastern states, be it Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Abu Dhabi. We're not kicking any of them off. But if you could just give me one fight night every 2 years, one pay-per-view every five. I feel like that's what a combat sports fan in this region wants to see. And even if it's, maybe New Orleans only gets one fight night every 3 years, but we have rotating mains between here and Houston on this I-10 corridor, I don't have much more to complain than that, So it's a shot to show that the market is viable for this particular type of event. And, you get a great shot with a homegrown talent that lived his life here, continues to rep here. You see him still posting up as a Saints fan every shot he has to meet to go to a regular season game. With them being able to tour the Saints facility, I'm sure that was a fun thing as well this week. But it shows that the market can handle it. And I'm excited to see what the state puts on, what type of event they put on. And, hey, maybe it's not the last one for a while. Beyond that, of course, going into our predictions, there are some good fights here, and here are some of the ones that I personally think are fight of the night contenders. I've mentioned them to a degree, but let's go into them. We'll go one by one. If I'm giving a fight of the night contender off of the early prelims, I think it is probably going to be Adam Fugit versus Islam Dualatov. I feel like this guy, fighting out of Germany, has the shot to become a great contender in the next couple of years. And he's 11-1 right now. He poses a very strong risk for both submissions and knockouts. He's got 6 wins via knockouts, 5 wins via submission. I feel like if he finishes that fight, because the only fight he's ever lost has been by decision, if he finishes that fight, it's going to put him on a trajectory towards not only getting more of a shot to continue to maybe fight, a number 15, number 14, but I think it gives him a shot to prove that he could be one of the next movers in that welterweight division. Then I have two coming out of the prelim side of things. I have both the Abeda Gautier fight versus Robert Valentin, and I have the Vinicius Oliveira versus Kyler Phillips. I didn't talk a lot about Kyler Phillips, but just as a brief note, he's 13-3. He has secured basically every win type, if it's knockout, submissions, or decisions. He does lose in decisions, but when he does finish, he finishes fights. He has not been finished himself. So it will be interesting to see how someone like Oliveira, who should be in a position now at 22-3 to really start climbing the ranks, particularly with him being on a 5-fight win streak. I think if he comes out and he secures another, be it you know, he has two Fight of the Night bonuses, I should mention also, within the last calendar year. So if this guy goes out and he's able to secure another knockout, another submission with, you know, great tactics showing that he can do that, I think he's on the short track to become a new and potential contender in the bantamweight division and move up those rankings. And then once you get to the main card, look, I want to tell you that, you know, fights 5 through 2 are going to be just, they're going to really go out there and they're going to show me something amazing. I think there's potential there. I really do. I think someone like a Dan Ige, you know, we saw what Pitbull did in his last fight. I'm not going to give him a fight of the night shot, but I think that could be a knockout if Dan Ige catches him at the right time. But beyond that, you know, fight of the night's going to have to be, and assuming the way how they've talked about this and hyped it up now for weeks, it will be Dustin Poirier versus Max Holloway. I see that 100% being as a finish, unless these two basically just punch each other out and they can't, you know, generate knockout power by the end of the fight. I'm not going to say I would put money on Justin, you know, running the ghillie and trying to get one last one at home, but he's shown that he has the skill. It's a pretty decent guillotine. I don't know if he'll actually get an opportunity to do it with Max Holloway, of course, one of the most significant strikes in UFC history, and showing that he's a tactical boxer beyond recognition. I don't know if he'll get the opportunity, but either way, I think one of these guys is finishing on the canvas in a knockout or tap out situation. This is not going to be a situation where these two simply just hug it out to the fifth round. I don't know if this one makes it past maybe the fourth. So keep your eye out on that. It's going to be an interesting and fun and engaging fight. It's going to be an emotional fight. I think whenever the tribute video starts playing in the Smoothie King Center, it's going to be a mover. You know, you have DC who's acting as the in-arena guy because Joe Rogan is not at this fight, you know. So it's going to be, you know, two Lafayette legends right there standing in the middle octagon looking up at the scoreboard. You know, it's going to be a big moment. It's a big moment for the sport, for the state. Of course, I thank you if you're still here with us at the end of this video, as you know, this is the first combat sports video. I know this podcast normally focuses on football, basketball, things of that nature, baseball, but you know, when we talk about major events in the state, you know, you have a event that is going to, for all intents and purposes, sell out the Smoothie King Center, that is going to be an international product, that is something you cannot dismiss. And I'm certainly glad that we'll get to have it here. I hope that Dana White sees the talent and the ability of the New Orleans market to support a pay-per-view event, and it's not the last one we see. Certainly I'm excited about it. I hope you all are, and I'll be keeping it true by you with you all at the event. I'll get as much content as I can, just showing you little bits and pieces, you know, taking some of those highlight videos, and then we'll talk about it a little bit after, once everything settles down. Once again, thank you all for watching, and we'll see you in the next one. Appreciate everybody. This has been a True Bayou Media production. This show is for entertainment purposes only and does not render legal or financial advice. Remember to bet responsibly. Distribution of this podcast is prohibited without the express written consent of True Bayou Media or its subsidiaries. Thanks for being true by us. We can't wait until next time we keep it true by you.